Watch the show live now on YouTube, Facebook and at highlandradio.com.
Yes, indeed. You can watch the show every day on our social media, YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, where you can get subtitles as well, if that suits you better. You can watch on your phone, tablet, smart TV, Fire Stick, whichever way you prefer. Just search Highland Radio Ireland. We're also on Facebook as well, across our Facebook pages. Right, we are going to be doing our quiz a little bit earlier today. So we're going to give one of you, thanks to our friends at Virgin Media Broadband, we're going to be giving one of you a €100 one-for-all voucher. And all you have to do is come on and answer a simple question, two of you, and one of you will win if you answer it quicker than the other. So if you want to be involved in that, text us your name and where you're from right now to 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000. Right, okay. Let us get to some comments here as we head towards a quick break. Good morning, Greg. It's because people have finally woken up to the total one-sided stories we get from mainstream media news, RTE, etc., are paid by Big Pharma now, etc. Journalism needs to go back to telling the truth. That would always help. Yeah, indeed. Greg, just touching on your subject with regards to the wheelchair users and accessibility, I've grown up having an incredible role model, best friend. My words could go on describing how much my sister Anne-Marie means to me. Anne-Marie, who is listening to your show, please do say hello if you get a chance. Hi, Anne-Marie, is a wheelchair user. We have always grown up doing everything to fight and support for her rights. Although things are changing, which is great to see, I do think there is so much more to consider. There seems to be a lot of focus made for electric wheelchairs, which, can I say, is amazing as well. But let's not forget all wheelchairs and users. We have to carry my sister when on the beach, to and from the sea and onto the sand. Not that any of us mind, she's my sister and I'd do anything for her. But as the PA who texted in, wheelchair users deserve dignity and respect. I really hope more can be done for wheelchair users. Thank you and your team for highlighting this. And as I say, another big hello to Anne-Marie. Hopefully you are listening. Yes, indeed. And that's why we were sort of saying in that last piece, that is a great wheelchair that is at Nairn. But it's sort of like the one great wheelchair. There are other facilities, but it seems to be the most accessible. So hopefully we see it normalised that people, all people, can access our beautiful beaches. Hi, Greg. They have Letterkenny destroyed with traffic lights and bad planning. Give me Derry any day to do my shopping, says this listener. Greg, Councillor Donald Coyle is correct about Kiltoy roundabout needing a yellow box. At least some drivers might obey it, as that roundabout is an utter disaster. That comes in from Mary. Greg, I don't like moaning about the four lanes from the Clannery Hotel to the roundabout. However, whoever is tarmacking them as tar and all on footpaths, with some little stones, folks have their shoes ruined with tar when walking. Hotel clients too, the council should wash it off, says one listener there. Another, across from the library in Letterkenny, there are a wheelchair place, but it's not signed and able-bodied people use it. Okay, well, that's not good. We need proper signage. And that's as a benefit for the drivers as well. Some get tickets and they don't realise they're parking in a space reserved for people with a disability. I was disgusted to see houses in my estate getting the air-to-water heating system put in. Why are we investing in this when there are other houses around the county with defective concrete, and not forgetting the issue of homelessness in this country? Surely our council should be putting money into issues of more importance rather than simply updating current houses. They believe it is a disgrace. Hi, Greg. Who is suggesting the equivalent of the MBE and OBE for Ireland? Now, I don't know the answer to that question. I will find it for you, because some party or individual brought through the bill. It's a ridiculous idea, because when celebrities are cited as potential candidates, I think there is enough ego boosting with roads, roundabouts and parks being called after people. Our local elective and indeed larger government ministers have a lot to answer for when it comes to items like this. I personally just don't feel that we need it. But anyway, just to remind you of a scam that's going around again, and it's another one that sort of catches us on the hop, because we are very worried about our young people, aren't we, often? And it says, I have to be sure not to, well, it doesn't matter actually if the number's shown. Hi, Mum, very stupid, it reads. Just lost my phone. I can't be reached on my old number. Can you text me through WhatsApp on this number? And it's an Irish mobile, an 089 effectively, you might think it is. It is a scam. It is to get the person to go, oh, Are you okay? I'll text you on this number, and then they might start asking for money as well, all right? Or for a new phone or something. So please, if you get that text that claims to be from a family member saying they've lost their phone and there's another number for you to text, please be extremely cautious. Even just ask them a question. Well, what's your second name? You know what I mean? If that is enough to, if that would be enough to ease your concerns. Another caller says, well, I certainly hope anyone caught with drugs is given the proper prison sentence, not just a slap on the wrist. This country must clamp down on drugs and the prison sentence must be severe to let everyone know the consequences. Well, I have some news for you in that, and I'll dig out the new story. At the moment, anyone who's convicted of a crime like that, that's not murder or something, is automatically entitled to 25% off their sentence. Well, the government has, extended that to 33%. So automatically now, rather than sentences getting more severe for most crime, anyone sentenced to prison will, if they behave themselves, automatically get one third off their sentence rather than the current 25%, which is not great news for victims, is it? And actually, effectively, I think it means there are lighter sentences. All right, just some comments here as it relates to the firefighters and their actions. A caller says, I support the firefighters. Simple. Four words. Five. Another, give the firemen and women what they're asking and more, the work they do. You can't put a price on it. I was listening to your program about the striking firefighters. The firefighters are paid the retainer to attend 80% of fire drills and to attend courses. Many thanks from Tony. The national average salary for a firefighter is 49 grand in Ireland, 21st of March 2023. Retained firefighters get paid an annual retainer between 8,359 and 11,000 ish, based on how long they've been in service. They're paid 22 per hour during drills and are paid 44 for the first hour of attending a call out and €22 per hour thereafter. All right, that's interesting information. But look, at you're not going to go in and get a loan off the basis of 8 to 11 grand and then, you know, uncertain hours going forward. Hi, Greg. Had to take my husband to casualty on Sunday night. We had a very good experience from start to finish. 4 hours in total. I guess we were lucky. Thank you. Okay, but it's good to highlight that too. And whenever we highlight something that needs attention, it doesn't mean that other people don't have good experiences either. And it's good for you to help us highlight that. Last one then, just before the break. Planners need to reduce the volume of traffic using the Polestar roundabout as all roads lead to this choke point. The new four lanes looks nice, but doesn't improve traffic movement. The lights on the roundabout might stop some of the crazy driving on it. Get through it. No forward thinking, indeed. And we were speaking to a gentleman, a lovely fella, on the programme a couple of months ago who he was talking about how the work's been ongoing for so long that he was delayed on the four lanes getting to his marriage in the 60s, I think, and it was still four lanes then. And yet here we are still. I don't know, the only way you relieve the traffic there, isn't it, is you take some traffic away. And the best way to do that is the bridge, you know, the old controversial bridge. Our next guest on the programme is Alliance Councillor Lewis Boyle. Good morning to you, Lewis. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello there. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Great. Good to have you with us. Now, you are the youngest... Sorry, I beg your pardon. I'll start that again. You are the youngest ever elected political representative in Northern Ireland. Do you mind me asking your age?
Yes, I'm 18.
And why did you... It's not unusual for young people to have an interest in politics, of course. But why did you choose the route of elected politics so young?
Well, to get involved in politics, there is, of course, you can lobby council from outside. You can see things that aren't being done effectively. But there's no better way to get in and have your own demographic represented to actually be involved in the decision-making process than to be elected and to be formally part of that process. And I did that so I can represent my DEA, the young people at DEA, but additionally, everybody that I was elected to serve.
Who voted for you? What were the demographics like? Did you get young people out to say, right, okay, we need a voice for us? Or was it the Alliance politics that resonated with people of all age groups? Have you analysed that much?
Well, I'm sure it was, we get votes from all across age demographics. I mean, in Ballyclare DEA, which is the DEA I represent, 30% of the population is under the age of 25. But of course, only 18 to 25 year olds can vote. I'd like it to be 16, but it is what it is. But we definitely had a strong concentration of voters in that age demographic because of myself, my age. But additionally, we do get vote shares right up through every single age demographic. So it was very good to see young people on the doors that were saying, oh, my parents normally vote, but I'm going to vote this time simply because you're a young person. But that was new in addition to our existing vote. So it was great to see.
What do you think's wrong with Northern Ireland politics at the moment, and what do you believe needs to change?
Well, there's not a single ounce of constructive politics in Northern Ireland. Everything with Northern Irish politics is so incredibly negative. It's always so antagonistic. And I think Alliance represents a new change where parties can work together. We can build a new positive Northern Ireland. And I really hope that we can continue that in the future.
And what do you think young people think of politics in Northern Ireland?
I think when they look at politics, they are totally disheartened. They just see it as, I mean, we've no functioning government again in Northern Ireland. I think they see that and they are disgusted that politicians aren't working for them. And it's because they see that they aren't working for them, they just detach themselves from it. They think it's not going to work regardless, but it can work. And you can use your vote in order to make it work. And I think that's incredibly important that young people are voting, making their voices heard, showing that they are totally dissatisfied by both of the major parties pulling down the executive.
Do you think they kind of don't really engage in what some people would describe as sort of the orange and green nature of politics, that they're more interested in other social issues that affect them?
Definitely. Young people are so much less into the orange and green tribal politics. They just want politicians who are going to work for everybody. They want politicians who are going to make change. And that's great that we've seen the new generation of young people come through that aren't haunted by Northern Ireland's past.
Another thing which is quite unique about your story is not only are you the youngest ever elected political representative in Northern Ireland, but you are also currently sitting exams. How's that going for you?
Absolutely. Well, during the campaign, I had to take time off, you know, to study for the exams. But I'm always very proud of my time management skills. And of course, we'll see if I was able to balance the two concurrently well on results day. I might have good results or I might open it and think, oh, no. But we'll see in August.
Yeah, and what are you studying?
I study business history and politics at A level.
Yeah, I mean, you've aided politics. I mean, you're an elected politician, so you just need the... And what do you see your future in politics? Well, actually, what do you see the future of the Alliance Party in Northern Ireland politics, and how soon do you see it happening?
Well, the Alliance Party has undergone a massive period of growth called the Alliance Surge. In early 2019, we were the distant fifth largest party in Northern Irish politics. We are now firmly cemented as the third biggest party in Northern Irish politics. Every indication is showing that that growth is going to continue. Alliance has become a major player in Northern Irish politics. We're going to stay that way. And I'm incredibly excited to be part of a movement and a party that is in what's going to be the driving seat in a new executive. And I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, I think any party that doesn't start, well, that doesn't feel like it's living in the past and that doesn't start actually listening to and representing younger people will not last very long at all. Because, you know, like society's moving on, as much as people want to sort of anchor it in other issues or the past, the bottom line is I'll be dead and other people are coming through. So really what I'm sort of interested in is becoming less and less relevant. Do you know that sort of a way? Do you get what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to have one eye on the past is good, but to have both eyes in the past, you're never going to be able to progress forward. And I think we should be moving forward in Northern Ireland into a more inclusive, diverse and better Northern Ireland for everybody. And I think that the Alliance Party is at the forefront of trying to do that.
What is, did your teachers and all think of, you know, you dedicating so much time to the campaign trail, to getting elected into politics?
Well, yes, there was some concern, obviously, from them. They were, of course, certainly focused on the exams. But I always viewed it as I'd always taken time throughout my entire life to volunteer in my community, whether that was through the food banks or in the local care home. So I viewed this as the same continuing in that I viewed this in the time I'd set aside from serving my community. I mean, additionally, students have part-time jobs. We all have different things going on concurrently to our exams. But in particular, one of my politics teachers has requested one of my posters to put in his classroom so he can point up. So he's certainly very supportive.
Yeah, and I suppose that the question is what next for you? Because there's one thing, and it's an amazing achievement, balancing studying for and sitting your A-levels. But what about third level and how... You know, you can combine politics and it, or you're taking a break from that, or if you decided, yeah, I suppose it's all dependent on how you do in the exams. We don't want to preempt that. But, you know, what does the term hold for you then in terms of balancing your advancing your education and your political career?
Well, I applied to study politics at Queen's University and Ulster University. Depends on the grades, which one I get to go to. But council is designed to be compatible with full-time employment, which means it can be done concurrently with tertiary study. So I would intend to do both of those consecutively over the remaining council mandate.
All right. Well, good luck with the exams. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care. That's Alliance Councillor Lewis Boyle there. He's the youngest ever elected politician in Northern Ireland, the youngest in Britain also, for what that is worth. He's just 18 years of age. He's doing his last exam on Friday, and he studied in Derry. He's educated in Derry. And an interesting story, I think. 086 60 25,000 from the North, 00 35386 60 25,000 for your WhatsApps and texts. A caller says, there was 2 years with no rally. The boy racers were still there. If there were no rally, boy racers would still be there. King of the Cone will still go on. Most of them never see a rally car the whole weekend. I think that's generally accepted. Right, okay. An email now in from a listener. I unfortunately was referred to the ED this week by Now Doc for chest pain. The place was pandemonium. I can only speak for myself here. Sat from before 9 p.m. until 3 a.m. with not even an ECG done at that stage. So I left, as I was told it would still be hours and hours before I was seen, from babies to elderly people waiting ridiculously long periods of time with serious cuts, broken bones and whatever else. It was heartbreaking to see grown adults crying with pain and frustration. Can I add that it's not the fault of the doctors or nurses who are under extreme pressure, but something needs to be done about it now. And thank you very much for getting involved in that. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, then we're going to come back with the fantastic quiz. I'm so excited to get on with the quiz. I'm speaking over the adverts because Virgin Media Broadband is now available in beautiful Donegal with a full fibre broadband so everyone can enjoy ultra-fast speed of up to 2 gig with 99% reliability. Check out virginmedia.ie to see if you can avail of the new 2 gig full fibre broadband speed. Right, Virgin Media, it is playtime and we are doing our quiz and we have Niamh in studio who is doing the timing for us. Niamh, are you nervous? You're not going to speak?
Yeah.
Okay, so Niamh is here making her debut on air on the 9 till noon show. It's all very exciting. Right, our guests taking part in this quiz are Kelly McMenamin in beautiful Ardra. How are you, Kelly?
I'm good, thanks.
What's the weather like in Ardra today?
Absolutely gorgeous.
Great stuff. Any visitors around yet?
Yeah, there's loads of camper vans up and down the road here to the beach, yeah.
Lovely stuff, lovely. Mary Jo Boner's in Dunloe. Hi, Mary Jo.
Good morning, Greg. Morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
Not too bad.
Good. And how's life with you, Mary Jo?
Not too bad, Greg. Not too bad.
Good. Not long now to the Mary from Dunloe Festival, Mary Jo.
Oh, well.
It'll be
busy. I'll not be entering it anyway, Greg.
Why not? Why would you not enter it, Mary Jo? If you already won it, is that why you can't enter?
Has been.
You're far from a has-been, Mary Jo. Don't say such things. Right, okay. Kelly and Mary Jo, what we're going to do now is I'm going to play a piece of audio. And if you're each getting a question, it's whoever answers the question quickest wins, and we'll have a mug for the second placed person. So I'm going to play a piece of music here now, and if you think that you want to answer a question on this, either you, Kelly, or you, Mary Jo, you say play, and then I'll get to the question, right? So Kelly and Mary Jo, if you want to answer the question on this piece of music, the first of one of you to say play will get the first question. Did someone
play.
Say play? Was that Mary Jo, was it?
Kelly.
It was Kelly. Thanks, Kelly, for helping me out here. Right. Have you got the timer ready there? Mm-hmm. Are you sure you have?
I do, yeah.
Okay. Niamh Shields.
Yeah.
Welcome to the 9 till noon show. Okay. Kelly, Mary Jo, Niamh, Caroline, everyone listening, let's go. Right. So as soon as I finish the question, you start the timer. Right, Kelly, here's your question. Bryan Adams, Everything I Do for You, is from what film? He has a bow and arrow, Kelly. Are you Googling it?
No.
Do it, Google.
I'm blank. We're all blank.
Oh, God. Right, okay, stop the clock. Right, stop the clock. We're at the point now whereby Mary Jo Bohner, if you simply get this question right, you win. Kelly, if you come second or lose, I don't like to use the L word, we're going to be sending you a beautiful mug to our draw. But anyway, Mary Jo, it's all on you. Here's your clip to sort of set up what we're going to be talking about.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Which is pretty much what Caroline says to me every single morning when I ask her what's coming up on the programme. Right, anyway, the question for you, Mary Jo Bohner from beautiful Dunlow is, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn, is a line from what famous film?
Oh, my God.
Come on, Mary
Jo. I don't watch film.
Oh, you would. This one now. Come here. You must have watched it.
Give me a clue.
Well, I can't now. I can't give you a clue because Kelly didn't get hers right and I'll get shot. Where's the tiebreak question? Did you do one?
Can I answer it?
Do you want to answer that one?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you won't win, but you can answer it, yeah?
You tell me, Kelly.
Kelly, come on, what's the answer?
Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, right, okay. Come here. No one did a tiebreak question out for me, so I'm going to have to make one up, all right? So I'm going to name a song, and whoever of the two of you shouts out the answer first will win, okay? And it's very exciting. So you, Niamh, you're the judge here. Right, so here is a song. And it's very relevant to this very sad news that we heard from yesterday. The first word of the song I'll say, and then whoever shouts the second word first wins. The name of the song is from Aslan, and it's Crazy.
Dreams.
No. Kelly, do you have an answer? Or was that Kelly that shouted?
Thank you. Crazy World.
Yeah, who got that? Kelly.
Kelly, Crazy World.
Oh, thank God. Right, Kelly, you've won a €100 voucher.
Yes,
yay.
Thank you.
Mary Jo Bohner, you are officially Highland Radio's entry into the Mary from Dunlow Festival.
A mug.
And a mug. Yeah, I'm not the only mug today. You're getting a mug as well. And our love and big kisses down the telephone line to you. Thank you for being good sports, both of you. I really appreciate it. Thanks, Kelly. Well done on winning.
Thanks, Greg.
No problem. Take care. And Mary Jo Bohner, lovely to chat to you as well. And as it turned out, don't you go anywhere yet for a second, please. As it turned out, Niamh, we didn't need you.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay. Caroline, what would you give that out of 10 today? Come here. Come back here. What would you give it out? 2 out of 10. Right, okay. 0 on Monday. Thanks, Niamh.
No
great
problem.
To have you on. Thank you so much indeed. Thanks to Kelly. Thanks to Mary Jo. And can I just say, by the way, that Virgin Media full fibre broadband has arrived in Donegal. And to celebrate, tomorrow on the 9 till noon show, we'll be giving away another €100 one for all voucher every day, courtesy of our friends at Virgin Media. Check out virginmedia.ie to see if you can avail of the new 2 gig full fibre broadband speeds. Now, can I just say, I didn't create this quiz. It was handed to me in this form. So I'm doing my best. Right, okay. I thought I enjoyed that anyway. Back with more after the break. And you're welcome back. So it was with great sadness that we learnt of the passing yesterday of Christy Dignam. He was just 63. And of course, everyone knew him as the front man of Aslan. And I think it's pretty clear. He was very honest about his health issues. And I think it was quite clear in recent weeks and months that Christy was heading into end of life. So people had a chance to sort of perhaps prepare for what was to come. But still, there's always great shock when you hear that announcement. Now, Eddie Rowley is a showbiz editor with the Sunday World and knew Christy personally and joins us on the programme now. Eddie, as I say, you know, we knew it was coming, but still incredibly sad news. But what an amazing legacy Christy leaves behind him.
Oh, absolutely. You know, a real rock and roll icon. And Christy was a proper rock and roll star. You know, he had the image of the lifestyle. You know, when as a younger man, he definitely looked the part, and he had that kind of mean to know kind of look about him. In reality, of course, he was a teddy bear. He was a lovely, lovely, lovely warm fella. But great songwriter and an amazing songwriter. And you know, it's a cliche. He'll live on through his songs, through his music. An incredible songwriter. You know, in the pantheon of legends in Ireland, you know, to Phil Lynott, Sinéad O'Connor, Bono, you know, he's up there. He's in that league. He never made it internationally, and probably that was you alluded to there earlier on. That was probably to do with, you know, the issues he had with heroin addiction back in the 80s, and you know, he was kicked out of the band basically, which probably wasn't a very good move for the band, they lost their international deal, but he became an absolute Irish icon, much loved, and the outpouring of love for him, you can hear it, you can see it on social media, right across the board, just incredible.
Yeah, and it's 2013, I believe, when he was first diagnosed with the rare and incurable cancer, and I suppose we were able to enjoy him and have access to his talents and arts for longer and more often, perhaps, than we could have expected when that news was first released.
That's right, Craig, because he said, you know, in a way, it was a blessing, a small blessing, having cancer, because it made him focus on what was, you know, real in life, to focus on the music and on the songs, and also to clean up his act and to try and stay as healthy as possible. And by staying as healthy as possible, he was able to do an awful lot more. You know, as we say, if you stay out of the pub, you'll get an awful lot more work done. So he did focus an awful lot more on his work. He recorded a lot more. He recorded a great album. He did a lot more TV. He did a huge amount of live shows. And so we did get to connect with him more in that decade, particularly through the Late Late Show. There was a couple of Late Late Show appearances there that really resonated and really, really connected him to a whole new generation, and to refocus the older generation as well.
Yeah, and some of his more recent work was, in my view, some of his best work as well. I mean, it's subjective, okay, and it depends on the type of music you like and the tone of it, and it kind of reminded me a little bit of other artists that, you know, as their time was drawing near, some of their, we had some of their, Johnny Cash springs to mind for me. I mean, I love some of the stuff Johnny that he Cash. Did. But and also, I would put Christie in that category too. I really liked some of the work that he did because it came from a different place later in his life.
It did. Well, of course, you know, he was reflecting on his life and on the future, and you know, and what was real, and you know, family was a lot to do with it. His wife fed into his songs as well. You know, she was a great woman. She stood by him all through the ups and downs of his life. You know, kept him together, kept family together. Family was huge for him. That fed into his songs as well. And you know, Christie was a highly intelligent guy. He was a very, very deep guy, very, very spiritual in his own way, and a bit of a philosopher as well, and a very inspiring man. And that all comes through in the music.
Yeah, and because we're a small country, we don't really have really celebrities as such, you know, on a scale, if the truth be told. But he was a superstar. But also, as it relates to Ireland, Eddie, and this is the last question, he was very accessible, and there's very few people of certain ages listening to us that will not at some point or other seen him live, or maybe got a picture with him, or had a brief conversation with him, and that's just the nature of our beautiful country, isn't it?
It is, and he was a very unstarry person. He was a very humble guy, and he was a real people person. He loved people, and you know, Aslan made their living, their bread and butter was playing live. So they played every pub and every hotel in Ireland, up and down the country, for years and years and years. They probably met everybody. He probably met everybody along the way, but he loved that, you know, and he loved Ireland, and he said, you know, the difference between U2 and Aslan was that U2 were a world band. Aslan were an Irish band, and Christy was definitely, a true great Irishman.
All right, Eddie, listen, thanks very much for your time today. It's greatly appreciated. And that's Eddie Rowley there, showbiz editor with the Sunday World. Okay, let's take a bit of music, shall we? We're going to go maybe something a little bit different. And what we might play is... beg your pardon. What we might play is a track from when Christy was on The Late Late Show. And he performed The Green Fields of France with Finbar Fury. So let's enjoy that.
Well, how do you do, young Willie McBride? Do you mind if I sit here down by your graveside and rest for a while, lead the warm summer sun? I've been walking all day and I'm nearly done. I can see by your gravestone you were only 19 when you joined the Great Fallen in 1916. Well, I hope you died well, and I hope you died clean. Young Willie McBride was it slow and obscene? Did they beat the drum slowly? Did he play the fife lowly? Did they sound the dead march as they lowered you down? And did the band play the last post and chorus? And did the pipes play the flowers of the forest?
Did you leave her a wife or a sweetheart behind? In some fateful heart is your memory enshrined? Although you died back in 1916, in that fateful heart are you forever 19?
Or are you a stranger without even a name, enclosed down forever behind a glass pane? On an old photograph, torn, battered and stained, and faded to yellow in a brown leather frame. Did they beat the drum slowly? Did he play the fife lowly? Did they sound the dead march as they lowered you down? Did the band play the last post and chorus? And did the pipes play the flowers of the forest?
All right, so that is Finbar Fury and the late, great Christy Dignam there. Okay, we're joined on the programme by the Ombudsman, Gerard Deering. Good morning to you, Gerard. Thanks for your time today.
Good morning, Greg. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you on the programme. Now, we have been speaking about access to toilets and other services, car parking spaces today in the show for people with disabilities. And by a scheduling coincidence, we're talking about now the lack of government action on transport access issues for people with disabilities. And you haven't held back, Ger. Shameful neglect is how you've described it.
Yes, Greg, very often on programmes such as yours, we're discussing the sins of the past, if I were to put it that way, and the inadequacies and how people were treated. But this is very current. 40 to 50 years, we had three schemes in the area of assisting people with disabilities to either access a car, to buy a car, to get either the tax back or assistance towards it, or to get an allowance so that they could use a taxi. Or it was all about helping people to get out of their homes, to engage in normal activity like work, like shopping, like all the things that people take for granted. But 10 years ago, this office, my predecessor, did an examination of some of these schemes and found that they were too restrictive. For example, one of the schemes that was cut off at 66 years of age. So the thinking was you didn't need to drive or get out of your home after 66. And they rightly called that out as being discriminatory. And this was 10 years after the legislation actually had been passed, making such activity discriminatory. In another scheme, we said the criteria were too narrow. And again, what the government did in response to both of those, which was most unfortunate, was to stop access for new applicants. So if you take somebody who was 20 years of age 10 years ago when these schemes were, when access was stopped for them, they're now in their 30s and still waiting for new schemes to assist them to engage in society and to travel and to move around. And I think probably in your own county more than any, this access to personal transport is necessary because of the limited public transport that's available.
Yeah, indeed. And it was only last week we had contact from a listener who can't avail of the local link service, for example, because they can't get up onto the bus because the steps are too steep.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean,
these are very definitely the kind of things that need to be dealt with. And, you know, the biggest difficulty that I feel exists is that we don't now know who's responsible for bringing in the new schemes. Because the latest report, which was from the Department of Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth, actually states, and I quote, the question of leadership in advancing the next steps remains open. So we no longer know now which department and who's responsible. The only scheme that's actually left is a scheme which does assist people to purchase, to get tax relief when they purchase a specially adapted vehicle. But the problem is the criteria for that. There are six very stringent criteria for that, and it excludes a whole range of people who have mobility issues. So the issue here should be your ability, your mobility or your lack of mobility, rather than the six criteria. And in fact, that scheme now, while people can still access it, you need a certificate from your local HSE, which is based on the six criteria, which the government recently enshrined in legislation. And if you can't get that certificate, there used to be a board to which you would appeal. Now, much focus has been on the lack of that board, but the reality is there are 1,000 people waiting to appeal to the board if it's ever put in place. But it is unlikely that many of those people will actually qualify.
But is this the same board that there was a mass resignation from because of its ineffectiveness?
And there have been a number of attempts to replace those people, and they've been unsuccessful. And most recently, I think only last week, the National Rehabilitation Institute has actually withdrawn its support for the scheme. So everybody, even the government departments agree that nothing is working and that something needs to be done.
Yes, but this is not really, I mean, this is not necessarily in the gift of the elected politicians. You know, we can't think for a second that a minister with responsibility actually makes these decisions. They turn to the civil service and say, well, what are you guys doing? There are people out there that might feel that this is purposely complicated or convoluted to avoid having to implement anything at all.
I hope that's not the case. I genuinely don't know the reason. I can't actually understand why, because it can't be money, by the way. The money involved here is not huge, and we've found money to do other things, and this is very important. So, and I'm not sure. I think people think it's complicated, but I don't know that it's as complicated as it's being made.
Yeah, but those six criteria, someone thought those up, right? And they would have known they're incredibly stringent. They would have known the hoops someone would have to jump through to qualify. If that's not purposely making a scheme inaccessible, I know you can't call it out as such, Ger, but then I would love to see an explanation as to why it has been set out as it is.
Yeah, well, I don't know the reason, but what is interesting is that when we called it out and when others called it out as being unacceptable, it also was challenged in the courts, and the courts found, for a very different legal reason now, they found that the situation wasn't correct. But what the government did, and that's only 2 years ago, they then enshrined those criteria into legislation rather than in a statutory instrument. So to the technical reason why they weren't actually, they lost in the High Court on the thing, but the reaction then was to enshrine those in legislation. Those limited, unreasonable criteria have now been enshrined in primary legislation.
Okay. Well, the full report is available on the Ombudsman's ombudsman.ie website, the ombudsman.ie, and there's much more in it that people should dig through and have a look at. And we hope, Ger, you know, as I say, you've been, your language is strong language. We would hope this embarrasses the powers that be or whomever it might be to say, well, this is unacceptable. You know, we need some shame here to say, well, this can't go on. We have to act on this.
We need a result for people with disabilities who need to be able to access personal transport, and that's what this is about.
Thank you so much indeed for your time, Ger. Slight apologies for the crackling on that line, but I hope that you all got to hear, I'm sure you did, exactly what Ger Deering, the Ombudsman, was saying, and we appreciate him making himself available to us. So 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps and texts to that number, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. We've business news coming up in the next hour, amongst other things, so we'll see what's happening in the world of business across the region, and have a look forward to Highland Radio's Business Matters podcast. Kieran will join us for that, and so much more besides. All right, stay where you are. News on the way.